Thank you so much. Well, listen, thank you, Randy Barbado, and Fenton Bailey, and Tom Campbell, and Stephen Korff, and Mandy Slangsang, and Theron, and Michelle Visage, and Pam Post over at WOW. And, you know, earlier this year, I was quoted as saying I'd rather have an enema than have an Emmy. But thanks to the Television Academy, I can have both!
All I have to say is she's got huge balls for saying that, and I expected nothing less out of her speech to be that amazing.
I mean, it was very appropriate and did not still diminish from, even though it, like, the statement is probably true that he'd rather have an enema than an Emmy, it is quite the honor, I think, and it was quite an unexpected honor to win, and I thought that was such a nice way to... We had just found out right after we finished recording our last episode.
Right.
And so I thought as our clip of the week, we would cut straight to the grand dame of them all, winning an Emmy for Best Reality TV Show Host for, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race. It's a shame it didn't happen during the televised event, but whatever.
Right. I mean, yes, but whatever. We have to make great strides eventually, but, you know, baby steps, right? This is a big deal.
Yeah.
That it was even acknowledged and that she was even nominated, and then let alone won. I mean, once she was nominated, I knew she'd win. You don't just nominate RuPaul and then she doesn't win, right?
I kind of stopped thinking about it because I guess I feel like whenever I heard him talking about it, it was like, oh, whatever. Like, it's a whole game. I don't expect to win. And so I think I just kind of pushed it off as well. Like, oh, yeah, all right, whatever.
I mean, yes, I get that, but I also saw For Your Consideration by Christopher Guest, and that's like the whole theme of the movie, which tells me that it's very usual that, like, somebody gets nominated, you're like, I don't do it for awards, and I'm just nominated. I'm just nominated. No big deal. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Sure. When in fact, like, they go home and they're like, oh, do you think I'll win? Do you think I'll win? What are they saying? You know, not that I think RuPaul is like that, but I do think that, like, it is. It's okay to be kind of humble, and it's expected to be like, yeah, I know him. Yeah, well, it's all right. You know, great. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. But it's certainly – I don't know what it means for the show, if that means that the show has now more longevity or a bigger budget. I don't know how this affects things, you know?
You know, RuPaul said it best. She's like, we're never going to go mainstream. And I truly believe that. You know, I will say this. As big of a deal as it is for RuPaul to be nominated and to win, and this idea of drag becoming this art form that's known about and understood, is still a long way off. Because when I talk about Drag Race with, like, straight people, it's like, and, you know, the art form, and I'm, like, really into it, it's as if somebody from another culture is talking about one of their art forms, right, that I don't necessarily understand. Like, for instance, Harajuku, right? Like, I don't really know anything about it,
right?
That kind of style movement, but apparently there's, like, a lot in it, right? K-pop also, like, who's an amazing K-pop star? Like, I can't really talk about that, and if people started having a conversation about it, I'd be like, what are you guys talking about? You know,
right.
I wouldn't get it. And the more straight people that I find out, or that find out that I really love Drag Race, or that I have a podcast about it, they're like, what? Like, oh, okay, I don't get it. You know, I've never been to a drag show. Like, there are people that still haven't been to a drag show. They get drag queens. They know who RuPaul is. But they're like, okay, so you're really into it. I feel like they look at me like I look at people that watch The Real Housewives. And I feel a little uncomfortable about that because I'm like, ugh, The Real Housewives? But that's just the reality of it. People are like, oh, you're really into this weird thing that's a reality show.
Well, I always try to, because I'm always aware of the possibility that people are going to think, oh, like, I'm thinking about what their perception is if I tell them I'm really into Drag Race. And so the way that I kind of try to sell it, or the way that I try to get around that, is by explaining, like, listen, this is, like, the best reality show on TV. They have to do everything. They have to act. They have to sing. They have to dance. They have to make clothing. They have to lip sync. They have to do all these looks. They have to do all these illusions.
Okay.
I just talk about how they're like multifaceted artists, and you're getting to see these people have to be these jacks of all trade, you know, and or, you know, Jacquelines of all trade. And I so I try to sell it that way, because it's like, people people know Project Runway. They know America's Next Top Model. Like, they know these other shows. It's like, imagine if the contestants had to do all of that and more, you know, with their dicks tucked in high heels. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's a great way to frame it. And I've never thought about really showcasing, like, how talented the queens are. Because for me, the way I showcase it or kind of frame it for straight people or even gay people that don't watch it, I say, you know what? It's like a reality show like Project Runway or America's Next Top Model, but they're making fun of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's all very campy. It's all very aware of itself. It's not that serious, right? That's kind of where I go. And then I say, like, if you're going to watch any episode, look up a Snatch Game episode, because that's when they're impersonating stars that you might know about. And then it's kind of funny.
Now, and this may sound a little arrogant, but I feel like you have to be really smart to catch on to the ways in which Drag Race is a satire. Because I think if you look at a lot of the fan base now, people are taking it, especially, you know, the younger fans, of course, are because they don't have a point of reference and because they're younger. But I think it's not just an age thing, that some people really do take it at face value, and they really do. They don't see Drag Race as a commentary on reality competitions. They see it as its own, you know, its own flavor of reality competition.
Yeah, that's certainly what it's become.
So, anyway, I think however somebody is brought to the show, I really feel like if somebody hasn't seen it, once they see like one good episode and they just see like you take away like the, you know, the specifics of drag or gay culture, you take all that stuff out, all the nuance, and it's just the spectacle of a TV show. I mean, there's so much entertainment that happens within that hour. In so many
entertainment
in so many different forms, down to like all of the puns that RuPaul and the judges are spewing while the queens are walking the runway. I mean, there is constantly a show going on.
Yeah.
And that alone, I mean, is really, I think, wins people over, and or has the potential to win people over, just because it's like, God, this show is like a hoot. And then people kind of, because they're having a good time, start to open up to, oh, so this is drag. Oh, you know, these are these gay men. Now I'm starting to see them as human beings. You know what I mean? Like, you have to just find your entry point with people. I think all of this is I think sort of a tangent to winning the Emmy. But I think all of this kind of stems to the fact that, like, this is why RuPaul won an Emmy, because the show is this good.
Yeah, no, it's a great show. She's done it. I wish she won for like producer or something like that, but you know, she won for host. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's a big step. I did love in her speech when she said she was listing all the names. She said, oh, and Michelle Visage.
Oh yeah. It was like I could feel Michelle.
You're right. She waited. Yeah. She waited to give her Michelle Visage.
Right. like telling herself, if she doesn't say my name, it's okay.
Right.
I get it. Like, it's just, you got to play the game. But then when he did, I think that she just, it was a special moment.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, thank
God. I cannot wait until...
He loves me.
Right. The validation I've been waiting for. I cannot wait until the next episode of What's the Tea to hear them talking about this. I can't wait.
The Emmy.
Yeah.
I feel like... How do I know when What's the Tea has been created? Like, this is going to be a while.
I don't know, because I feel like there are, you know, with the tours and stuff, like, they have to pre-record if Michelle's out of town or if they're recording, you know, recording the season. But I remember, for example, like, the podcast that came out, the episode that came out right after David Bowie died, they had some mention of it there. So I feel like... It depends. I feel like it's possible they could have an episode talking about the Emmy pretty soon.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely listen out for it. It'll be fun to hear their kind of take on the enema and an Emmy thing.
Yeah, and what it means to, like, have said that and now to have won is, like...
Yeah. And also to have said that in her speech.
Right.
You know, of course they're not going to air that, you know, in a pink polka dot suit. Like, it would have been a little much for some of the audience.
And in a Gucci pocketbook. I mean, she brought her pocketbook. I love it. Before we get too ahead of ourselves, we should, of course, stop and just quickly let people know that they are listening to another episode of All Right, Mary.
All Right, Mary.
This, of course, is our podcast dedicated to all things Drag Race, the world of Drag Race, and the paradigm that RuPaul has created with this little TV show. And so today, we, you know, of course, we we had to stop our fervish review of All Stars 2. You know, the last few episodes we've been skipping our little mini features, our trivia, our moment of appreciation, all that little stuff, because we just have to talk about the season. But we would be remiss to not have stopped and given some, you know, a little bit of love to RuPaul and her first Emmy.
All right, Mary.
Speaking of a little love that we should be giving, should we move on to our next segment?
Well, yeah, I'm actually super excited about this. You know, we have not done a moment of appreciation for a queen the past few weeks, as I said before. And each week we like to, you know, shine the spotlight on a queen who we feel deserves some love, isn't getting enough, just is on our minds. And we actually have a very special, very, very special moment of appreciation. Our queen of the week is our, dare I say, super fan, Ricky, who emailed us at allrightmarypodcast@gmail.com, as we've been begging you to do, and sent us the nicest email, and with some tea. I mean, she delivered, you know, some love, some tea, everything I want in an email from somebody. So
yeah,
how great was that?
So thank you, Ricky. I know you're listening. And you know, thank you to everybody listening as well. If you want to be like Ricky and give us some tea or just some feedback, that would be great. And Ricky told us to keep an eye out for the Twitter feud going on between Coco and Roxy. Do you know about this?
I do. I was really happy when I saw that Ricky had mentioned that, because I was like, yes, we need to talk about the, you know, they don't have Untucked this season, but the queens have been bringing Untucked via social media.
Okay. So this is my question. When I was like, oh, because there's another feud that we definitely need to talk about, right, between
yes.
Fifi and Rue. But
yes.
My question is, do you think these feuds are real? I'm so close to saying that they're not, because it is like an extension of Untucked, because Taylor Swift and Kanye's feud isn't even real, and that's super mainstream. So I'm on the edge of being like, well, why not create some drama that's going to keep, you know, fans interested, keep fans talking, just because it's fun, just because you can do it. I think of it like the WWF, right? Even when, you know, the show isn't on or the pay-per-view isn't on, you still see promos of them throwing shade at each other before the actual battle happens. And I feel like, maybe not with Fifi and Rue, I'm not too sure about what's going on there, but certainly with some of the other queens, with Coco and Roxy, it's like, well, what? Oh, Coco, maybe you got off a little too soon and you want some more attention. That's kind of where I'm at. But anyway, tell me what you know.
Well, I think that – so I am agreeing with everything you've said, that I think that it's very possible that the Coco-Roxy stuff is all BS. It's all just stuff to keep people enticed and, you know, to draw people in. Because Coco, I mean – so much is happening already this season that Coco, like, I'm like, who? Coco who? You're like, whatever happened to Coco, you know?
Ouch.
Because there's so much
else. No están aquí?
She is not están aquí, not in my mind. And I think that, you know, it makes sense to how to keep yourself relevant is start some, like, weird feud that, like, it's like, why would she be mad a year later when, like, if it's not like the show revealed anything more than, like, she knew she got eliminated by Roxy. So why would she start being mad? You know what I mean? So, like, to start being deferred, mad about
it. I mean,
it's
too deferred.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe now she feels the independence to be public about it. But still, that's a year. It's like, girl, you're definitely doing this for your followers to keep yourself relevant because it's interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyway. Okay. Well, then I don't. You know, I don't feel so crazy.
So that one, I think.
Should we talk about the Fifi and Rue one? What do you know?
Yeah, I mean, that one. So that one, I think, is real. The reason I think that it's real is because Fifi's been getting death threats. And I think that a lot of this is stemming back to that, you know, the response and the feedback that she's been, and the hate that she's been getting from people on social media. And I think that, I mean, we've talked about this before. Everybody in everybody talks about that. I mean, this is like, this is such a relevant topic right now in so many different places, but certainly in terms of Drag Race, I mean, the subreddit talks about it all the time. The subreddit gets accused of being a lot nastier than they really are. I think you see what people say on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter, and it is vile. I mean, they might throw some serious shade on the subreddit, but it is intelligent, it is thought out, and they're usually right. So, you know, they're tough. But
it's like true shade.
Yeah,
it's not like the venom, right? It's not like you're like just hating on someone. It's shade. Right. You're revealing some truth.
Yeah, they are very vocal, and I think the subreddit is a really interesting community. Because, you know, people talk about the Drag Race fan community and these extremes of, like, Fifi, for example. She's talked about it on the show, like, people threatening to throw acid in her face and, you know, just getting these death threats and all this hate mail. And, you know, when I – the subreddit talks about it a lot and is really clear that, like, listen, it's one thing to kind of, like, talk about the show and you know, kiki about it and throw shade and, like, you know, play around with each other. But at the end of the day, like – this is a TV show, and no one should ever be threatened, you know, for what they did on a TV show. And so it is reassuring that there is a portion of the fan base out there that has that human moment of like, wait a minute, this is not right. But essentially, yeah. So what the drama with Fifi,
fill me in because I only know a little bit about it from what you mentioned. But go because other people don't know either.
So here's the story. So I think. And some of this is like, obviously, a lot of this is to the credit of the subreddit, the RuPaul's Drag Race subreddit, which I am due to post in soon. But they have so enriched my experience of All Stars 2 with all this tea. So I think that Fifi came on the show, and it was really, you know, I think for her, for Roxy, you know, even for Coco, there was this kind of redemption, you know, even Ginger in some ways, you know, really redeeming themselves and their reputations. And I think Fifi kind of came on and the story producers were like, yeah, we're going to, you know, it's going to be great. Like, people are going to fall back in love with you. It's going to be awesome. And so it's really about these story producers. And I could go super deep with like Willem having conflict with this other one, but like, that's a whole other story. And that may be for another time. But basically, I think what happened is that Fifi then saw the season as it was playing out, and she saw that like she was in fact getting a really shady edit when it was like, yeah, I said those things, but you've taken so much of that conversation out of context. Like, for example, they made it look like she convinced Roxy Andrews to change her character for Snatch Game, when really Roxy was
certainly
asking,
what it looked like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when really it was like Roxy's like, what do you think? Like, she was asking for advice, and Fifi's like, honestly, like, I think you need to go bigger. Like, you know, Roxy was looking for her advice, and she gave it to her. But instead, they made it look like it was unsolicited and that she was like prodding. So, shady. Yeah. And then I think really this most recent episode, I think she really felt that they just, I think she just had her fill. And the way that they were portraying her, I think she was just like, this is fucked. And so she kind of had a meltdown on social media, and she was posting stuff about how, like, you know, she was you know, about the edit and about how I feel like there was something else that she had said. She was just being very outspoken about all of the things that, like, we saw it one way, here's how it really was. So then I think then RuPaul posted a gif of Jessica Rabbit saying, I'm not bad, I'm just drawn that way.
Oh, shit.
Right? With a commentary saying,
oh,
like,
oh, shit. Wait, what, like, was the commentary?
It was like, okay, sure, or something like that. And then she blocked Fifi on Twitter. So then...
Oh, wow. She blocked her? Even on her podcast, Rue said she doesn't block people because that would be giving them satisfaction of getting her attention.
So she went ahead and blocked her, and then Fifi made, so Fifi had two posts. One was, I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially she talked about how something about the Emmy that she won, you know, shining off of the reflection of the tears of you know, people she, you know, took down to make the show to win the Emmy. You know what I mean? Like, you only people only said it was such a great show is because you, like, you know, put us through the ringer and tear us down and make us feel like make people think we're awful people. And it turns it, you know, and that's why you won an Emmy. You know what I mean? It's all because Whoa. Of these edits. And then she Whoa. Called and she called RuPaul a coward for like posting that and then blocking her. So she called and she said like literally like Rue is a coward and then said that she would not be attending the Drag Race reunion.
That's okay. I heard that. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, we'll see if she shows up to the reunion, girl. Then we know if it's real.
Right? I mean, I feel like it has to be real because Fifi only stands to lose in this situation. I mean, she could kind of go the direction that like Willem has gone where it's like, I don't need this show. Like I'm going to do my own thing. But I mean, I think that that is, yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, the other queens have kind of started to extract themselves from the show. Like there was an interview with Ben de la Creme and, you know, he talked about being asked to do Drag Race again. He was asked to do All Stars and he declined because he was like, have you seen what they do? They pit people against each other. They put them through the ringer. Like, you don't know what kind of editing you're going to get. Like, that's not worth it to me. I'm not going to do that. And like, he was just like, I'm not doing that. And I feel like it's really interesting and also inevitable that what we're starting to see with Fifi, with Will, and some of these other queens is like, as RuPaul's Drag Race has moved closer to mainstream, there's now breaking off. You know what I mean? There's now kind of like rebellion against. And it's so drag, right? Like it's so like as Drag Race has become closer to mainstream, now there's all these other queens who have to like take some kind of like punk rebellious stand against it, you know?
Do you think that RuPaul or the show should take responsibility for the hate that Fifi's getting, or can they always still stand by she said those things?
I think they'll always stand by that because I mean it's kind of like at the end of the day they have to create these villainous characters. It's part of why people tune into the show. And
yeah,
so
she walked in as a villain.
I mean you know, RuPaul has said before they produced the show within an inch of its life, and I think part of it, like I think everybody's kind of right and kind of wrong. Like I think Fifi's kind of handling it poorly. I mean, calling RuPaul a coward. I mean, don't bite the hand that feeds you. You know, I think there are other ways of handling this, and having like meltdowns on social media is not the way to do it. But it certainly makes things interesting, and I don't know. It only makes this season and the experience of watching the season like solidified as really like top tier, totally top tier, great season. So let's talk about the episode from this week. I mean, I felt like in some ways all this off-screen drama was almost eclipsing the episode. And there was a commentary in the subreddit, which I think was true, that the challenge and even the runway in some ways, like all of it in this episode felt a little bit rushed to kind of get to the drama. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I noticed that when I watched it. I'm like, oh man, like we're at the challenge already. Like this is, I can't remember, at the runway already. Like it felt like 15 minutes went by.
Yeah.
You know, we saw them filming their movies and then it was the runway. It definitely moved very, very quickly.
Yeah, I felt like when they finished all the like the montage of filming the clips, I was like, oh, it's already over. Like I felt like the time period that they would spend on one team, they spent on all three, you know?
Oh, sure. Right.
You know?
Right.
And obviously, you know, there was no, you know, all the walkthroughs with Rue were pretty much all just like logo TV extras. So, you know, we didn't really, there's obviously no mini challenge. I guess it's the fact that like it makes sense to me in a way that this season, the challenges do kind of feel, I mean, certainly as the season progresses, I feel like this is going to continue, that like the challenges are really being eclipsed by just the drama that's being created with this new format.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we need to know how well they do in the challenge before there can be real drama.
Right. But it's It's tough. It's a hard balance. You know, if they were able to do more of the, like, 90-minute episodes, like, I think the first episode was a 90-minute episode, mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. I think, would be a lot better. Then they could really, I mean, I think that's why the first episode was so good, was because we kind of got everything, you know?
Yeah, that's actually a really great point. I didn't think about that. But they would never do 90-minute episodes, only because, I don't know, it costs money, right? Is that the only reason? Yeah. I can't think of any other reason.
I don't know. I guess so. I mean, I'm sure there'll be another one before the season's over. But anyway, that being said, so we'll talk about real quick the challenge. People obviously probably know what it is at this point, but they're doing sequels. And I think I'm interested in your thoughts on the choices. Obviously, they did Roxy and Fifi were in Show Squirrels, and Katya and Detox were in Velma and Wheezy, and Alaska and Alyssa were in whatever. What happened to Baby JJ?
What happened to Baby JJ? Yeah.
So what do you think about those three choices as, like, you know, of the canon of, like, iconic films? How well did they do?
You know, I'm very biased on Showgirls because I love Showgirls. I can quote that movie, like, back of my hand. Because, you know, sooner or later you're going to have to sell it.
Yeah, and get my tits popping, right?
Yeah, exactly. What's that useless piece of skin around a twat? A woman. it's like a terrible joke. Like a terrible joke.
Yeah.
And it's offensive, right? But it's just like, ugh, what a bad joke.
Right. But, like, in the context of Showgirls, it's just this, like, absurd moment. Yeah.
Sure. Absurd moment. Well, there were many absurd moments.
The whole thing is, yeah.
The pool scene. Yes, it's absurd. Anyway, that's why I love it. So yes, I was happy with that choice for sure. I was like, great. You know, great minds think alike. RuPaul and Michelle Visage. And then I loved whatever happened to Baby Jane. I recently actually just watched that movie. I now have a more complete gay card. I definitely recommend it to any listener that has not seen Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. You will appreciate Alaska's performance so much more. That movie's bizarre and great, and I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. There's some very iconic scenes. Y'all in that chair, Blanche. Some great things from that movie. Anyway, so I was happy with that choice. And then Thelma and Louise, I didn't really understand. I mean, it's a feminist movie, which I totally get. I love those actresses, obviously. But it was a little odd. I know that they were probably trying to find an easy duo. I'm sure that they looked at the cover and, you know, it says, I think the tagline is, instead of... They needed to get away, so they did, right? Instead, they changed it on Drag Race. So they needed to get away, and they died, right?
Right. They needed to get a life, and they died.
A life, exactly.
Yeah.
They died.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what do you think about Thelma and Louise, or what were your thoughts? I wish they had picked another one, maybe.
Yeah, I think the Thelma and Louise one felt a little bit like, oh, okay. Like, the other two were sort of like, great choices. I was happy to see that there was going to be a Showgirls, you know, parody, and I was very happy to see that there was going to be a Whatever Happened to Baby Jane parody, because I just, you know, I live for older women overacting. I mean, that's totally my aesthetic. And so I was very excited about that challenge. The Velma and Wheezy, well, I felt like it was a weird choice, like, parodying Thelma and Louise. When it came to the actual final product of what the parody was, I felt like it was the most solid.
Oh, you think so?
Well, okay, so I feel like, I mean, obviously...
I disagree, so keep talking, but I want you to know I disagree.
Well, I felt like the Showgirls one... Fifi did a better job than I expected she would. I thought it was a committed performance, but Roxy was pretty underwhelming. And then What Happened to Baby JJ, Alaska was pitch perfect, one of the best acting performances in Drag Race, the whole show, to finish, brilliant. And yes, if it was a, like, she could have done Bette Davis for Snatch Game easily.
Yeah.
And she could
have
done that because she had it nailed. And when she said, a wheelchair with the H, a wheelchair now, Blanche. I that is so perfect. It's such a great little detail. But yeah. Alyssa Edwards was strange.
I thought there was not much. A, there is not much that she could do with that role. A.
Agreed.
B.
Agreed.
B, Joan Crawford didn't have much to work with either. That role is overshadowed by nature by the other actress. So it's almost like you put Bette Davis and, or rather, Alaska and Alyssa in these roles, one of them has to do worse than the other. It has to happen. And there wasn't much for Alyssa to work with. I loved her face in the beginning. I loved a lot of her faces. I thought she did what she could do. She let Alaska have the stage, which I thought was a smart thing that happened. It made Alaska really, really great. And, you know, had she tried to overshadow her, I'm sure she could have done a lot more and she could have been funnier. But I thought that it was good that she just played it straight. That's I really liked it.
Well, I agree. I agree that she didn't have much to work with, and there was some commentary on the subreddit about how, gosh, this is so similar to last week when Katya got this role, where it's like, what could you do with this?
Yeah.
And in this one, it's like, what could Alyssa really do with this role? I mean, she could have done more, yes, but not much. And I agree with you there, but I guess it's just like, okay, but if we're just objectively looking at final product, Katya and Detox both kind of had equal limelight. They both... they reach the same levels. They play off each other well.
But in a weaker scene, I thought the scene was weaker. I didn't like all the blood and the zombie stuff. It didn't feel that drag to me. I saw Detox like as a boy in that role. I didn't think Detox really did a great job, to be honest. And Katya was great. I loved when she referenced Amy Sedaris, because that's exactly who she gave me. She gave me Jerry Blank.
Yep.
She gave me like super weird. And I thought that was perfect. But the scene was weak. It was weird. It was like, oh, okay, we're talking about zombies now. You know, as opposed to whatever happened to Baby JJ, what happened to Baby JJ, which I thought was more in reference to jokes in the movie.
Yes.
You know, and this, even the same with Showgirls to an extent, which I also was very disappointed in. I didn't really like the scene. It seemed very forced. They kept putting all of these famous lines in there, and well, maybe Roxy just didn't do a very good job at selling them, because she had most of the lines that I think were referenced. I do have to say, though, about that scene with Fifi, that Fifi looked just like Sherry O'Terry in those scary movies.
Oh my god, that's such a yes. She looked
just
like
her.
It was like Sherry O'Terry doing a Showgirls skit on SNL.
Yes. Exactly. That's what I got. I didn't mind that. I thought Fifi did a great job. I didn't think that scene was that funny. The premise I didn't think was that great. You know, the writing I think was just a little weak on these episodes. Although I thought that the Alaska Alyssa one was brilliant.
Yeah, and that one, I mean, I just give so much of the credit to Alaska, because she just, it was incredible. I mean, I really feel like after, I mean, certainly we'll talk about the runways in a bit, certainly after this week, I mean, as much as I love Katya, I'm Team Alaska. I really feel like she is earning the crown. She is killing it. She is doing. She is wowing me. She is. She's making. You know. She's hitting the history books. You know what I mean? Like, she's doing things that when people look back on the best of, you know, best this or highlights from the show, things Alaska has done on this season will make that list. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could say the same about Detox in terms of her runway looks.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I think that.
But I expected that, right? She's a looks queen.
Right, right. So, all right. So I feel like we haven't talked much about the videos, but I also feel like we've said everything there really was to say based on what they showed us. I mean, I expected when we saw like the preview of what this episode was going to be, I guess I had my hopes really high that like we were like, it was like, oh man, these are going to be so good. Like, there's going to be so much in these. But they're, I mean, this was not my favorite challenge.
The one thing that I did love about it was the hot guy in the Velma and Wheezy. I thought he was really cute. You know, I don't know. It was nice. It was nice to look at. A man all of a sudden, you know, not in women's clothing.
Right.
Yeah, but when I'm looking at my notes, like, you know, I wrote down doo-wah, right? That part with Alyssa. Right. Doo-wah. I mean, I guess she could have done more with that. And I just want to see if there's anything else I had. That's really it in terms of the videos. I do want to just back up really quickly and mention that the argument that Fifi had before Rue came into the workroom when she was saying, "Can you let me finish?" And then Alyssa was all like, "Let's choose our words wisely." I mean, Alyssa was right. Like, Fifi was arguing poorly, right? She was done, but then she's like, "Oh, you have to let me finish." It's like, girl, you're just saying the same thing. Which, you know, anyway, I'm petty, but again,
No. I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot about that because there were two things from that, the opening of the episode that I would have loved to talk about, or we should totally talk about, is A, that argument where Fifi was like, yeah, she was like, "Can you let me finish?" When it was like, nobody was interrupting her. It was like, girl, then just make your fucking point, you know?
And I really
did side with Alyssa there. I really liked the, like, when Alyssa was like, "No, but let's just choose our words wisely." I was like, that's dance teacher Alyssa. That's like Justin. You know what I mean? It was really I really enjoyed that. But okay, one of my new favorite quotes from this season is, "It was rigor mortis, baby. Rigor mortis."
Who's Morris?
Oh, I thought that moment was so funny. It was rigor mortis, just the way he said it. Oh, that was really cute. So,
You know what else I noticed? Go ahead.
No, that's all I had to say.
I noticed also that there was no she-mail. Excuse me. Oh my god.
Oh my
I just
god.
Said it. She done already done hers.
No,
she done already done had hers.
She did not already done had hers. This or
the no. She already done had hers.
Yeah. There's been none of those. There's been no. No she mails. No tranny mails. No.
Oh, stop it! Stop it! We want listeners. We don't. We don't want to shoo them away.
Shoo, stop listening. Anyway.
Oh, you're terrible, Muriel.
I was thinking that when we were talking about movies they could have done parodies of, if they did a Muriel's Wedding parody, but then the Queens would have to be able to do an Australian accent.
Oh, yeah. I think some of them could do it.
Katya has, like, she does little, like, Australian bits in some of her videos. It would have been very funny. I think that would have been a nice choice.
It would have been so funny.
It'd been so good. Yeah.
Anyway, back to Fifi and the argument. I feel this whole Fifi's kick of, like, she flipped the script, she blah blah blah. It's Fifi feels threatened because she hasn't been in the top.
Yep.
And she feels like people are going to consider an entire season's worth instead of it going week by week. And Fifi knows that if they don't go week by week, she has less of a chance because she hasn't been doing that well.
Right.
So I feel like Fifi's anger, this like muck she keeps stuffing up. Like, she could just keep her fucking mouth shut, right? Like, she could have just shut up about it. But she chose to muck it up. She feels so threatened by these other girls. It's obvious that she's out of her league, which is unfounded too, because she is very talented. Her runway has been great, and I do also want to talk about this week's runway, and then also because she changed for her lip sync, which is another story. But she hasn't done terribly. I just feel like she's losing the social game, which if we're going to go to Survivor, which this show, you know, is a little bit more like these days, the social game is just as important as the physical game. As they say in Survivor, you outwit, outlast, and outplay. And it's not just by outplaying. You have to outwit people. You have to outlast them. You have to stick around. And part of that is not getting voted out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think that Fifi O'Hara's weaknesses, from what I can tell, you know, from what people talk about, like, you know, from meeting Fifi in person, like, there's always this whole thing of like, oh, you know, he's really actually a very nice person. But I think it's like, well, someone can be a very nice person, but then you put them in this environment, you put them in a competitive environment where they are shooting for long hours and they're not eating very often and they're not getting much sleep. And it's like, I often think about myself, they're so tired. And I think about myself, and if I was put in this situation, I would be a very different person. It would get to me. And I don't know if I would necessarily pull a Fifi, but I could understand why they cry in the Talking Heads interviews. I'd be crying in the second episode. I could see it, because it's just the conditions bring out certain parts of you.
All right, Mary.
Well, hey there, friends, squirrel or otherwise. This is Colin from All Right, Mary, the podcast you were just listening to. And unfortunately, I have committed an act worthy of sashaying away, but maybe I'll get a redemption. Anyway, point being, I was editing this podcast and had some kind of shemergency and deleted the second half of the podcast. And so all of our conversation, everything that Johnny and I had to say about the runway and about the judges' critiques and about the lip sync and the decision, all of that has been lost forever. I apologize. So what I want to quickly do is really sum up some of the points that we made in the second half of the podcast, not to go on too long about it, but just to kind of give you a sense of what our thoughts were, to give you a sense of completion. And then if there's anything we feel we really need to touch base on, we will talk about it again in our next episode, which will be out early next week. So the main points that I really want to point out from the second half of this episode that we talked about, I think what's really probably the most interesting is really our thoughts on Alaska. You know, I am very much Team Katya. And I have said before that, you know, I've praised Katya up and down and have talked about how, you know, she always really has, there's always something intelligent about what she's doing. There's always so much thought behind it. There's always a story. And we saw that in her runway this week. I mean, she maybe didn't have the most exciting reveal. It wasn't the most wow of a reveal. And I've said in the past that she's never really blown my socks off on the runway. But the subtlety, the story, the thought behind it, she did something none of the other queens would have thought to do. And that's what I love about Katya. But at the same time, all that being well and good, and takes nothing away from the fact that she's an incredible drag queen and an incredible performer, Alaska showed up with an all-stars look, with an all-stars plan. I mean, she, as much as I'm Team Katya, I am really Team Alaska, because she's earned it. I mean, that little pound cake runway was brilliant. The reveal was so cool. The fact that she was self-referential. I mean, I think Johnny and I both agreed that is such a key thing to playing this All-Stars game right, is recognizing in the ways in which you are a star and that you do have references. You know, I think Alyssa Edwards kind of gets that. And I think that Alaska is taking that to the next level, you know? And she's just owning this whole competition. What's strange, though, and one thing we both agreed on, is that Alaska's really not getting much of an edit otherwise. You know, there's so much of this talk we had in this episode about edits and about the edit that Fifi has been getting. And you know, in comparison, Alaska has been getting sort of a cold edit. We don't really get much of a talking head from her. We don't really get much of her perspective. We really only see her in the challenge, in the competition, and she does great. But it's really Detox and Katya and right now Fifi who are kind of our narrators for the story. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's about. I think if it were to continue this way and Alaska were to win, it would feel a bit strange, just because so much of this show and so much of, I think for fans like us, so much of it is the journey. So much of it is the queens we go on this journey with. And so it would feel a little bit detached for Alaska to win and for us to have not really gone on the journey with her. Whereas, you know, Katya, obviously we've really gone on this journey with her. And yet at the same time, when I'm just looking at track record right now in the challenges and in the show, I mean, Alaska is such a front runner. So of course, the lip sync was between Alaska and Fifi, and one of the things we talked about there was really there was these two representations of drag happening in this lip sync. both of them were good. I mean, I we both agreed that Fifi did a great job. And I actually thought Fifi was going to win the lip sync because she was hitting every note. She looked the part. She was giving me really everything that she could for that song. I loved it. I thought she did a great job. And it's been tough for me to really be Team Fifi for a couple of reasons, but I was fully on her side in this lip sync. But, you know, watching it again, and really, I mean, just kind of looking at the facts here, like Alaska killed that lip sync because she did what she's been doing with so many of these challenges and the other lip syncs and things that she's done. She doesn't, you know, I compare this to the talent show. And actually, this is a good example because Fifi and Alaska both sang for the talent show in episode one. So Fifi showed up, she sang a song. Granted, she didn't do a solid job of it, but she didn't come in with a plan to do anything more than a song. Alaska showed up and she did a drag version of a song. She gave an entire characterization and performance. She just went to such weird places. And that's what it's all about. I mean, certainly in my opinion, that's if you're going to do drag, you know? So both of them really did a great job, but Alaska did this really strange, not specifically female illusion version of drag, and it won. And it was, you know, our feeling was like it was kind of nice to see that get that win, because often we talked about how we've seen this in the past with like Vivacious versus April Carrion. We've seen this with Milk versus Trinity K. Bodet. You get a lip sync between two queens, one who's really representing an alternative style of drag that isn't really made for this competition. And one who's really given you classic female illusion, classic fish, really just like unclockable. And in those other instances, it was that queen, that kind of quote unquote traditional queen, excuse me, who won. So it was really kind of nice to see the alternative queen win here. And of course, I think as well, the fact that Fifi was not the one to send Alyssa home probably spared her a little bit of social media hatred, though apparently Alaska got a lot of criticism on social media. But I think, I mean, that's becoming such an issue now. We've talked about this in the past and past episodes, how with Drag Race and certainly really anything in the media now, you have to factor in the feedback that you're getting in the comment sections of social media. And it is often just a poor representation of humanity. It is just a poor representation of intelligence. There just isn't. I don't see a correlation between social intelligence and emotional intelligence and telling somebody to kill themselves on Instagram. I just can't connect the two, especially for being a part of a competition in which you have to send somebody home every episode and you're just doing what you're being told to do. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. But that's a whole other tangent. You know, of course, the other thing we talked about was the fact that we have Queens coming back next week for Revenge of the Queens, Coco, Ginger, Alyssa, and Tatiana. I am most excited to see Tatiana come back. Johnny said that he would be most excited to see Alyssa come back, which I totally get. I totally get that because obviously Alyssa's great TV and I'll take as much of her as I can get. But I also kind of know what I'm going to get with Alyssa, like more or less. More or less, I kind of know the flavor. It's going to be good. I'm going to like it. It's going to be kind of ridiculous. Tatiana, I don't really know what to expect, and that intrigues me and that excites me. And so I really do hope she comes back. I really think it would be great to see more of her and really see what more she can do. I mean, what she did do in the first two episodes was incredible, especially the talent show. And, you know, sure, her snatch game, maybe she didn't really have the, you know, the comebacks down. She wasn't really bantering as well with the queens as she should. But the look, the voice, the characterization, I mean, all of that showed a certain level of artistry that we don't really see in a lot of snatch game characters. So there's a lot there for Tatiana. I'd love to see more from her. I think that's everything that we really covered in a nutshell. Of course, the only other thing to add is, much like our super fan Ricky, again, thank you so much for emailing us. If you also want to email us and get a little mention on the show, let us know what you think and just kind of start the conversation with us, you can email us at allrightmarypodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can also head over to iTunes and subscribe to us, leave us a rating, leave us a comment, let us know what you think, let us know what you're into, what you're not into. And yeah, and mostly just let us know you're out there. It really means a lot to hear from you guys. So All that being said, I apologize for this truncated podcast episode, but the next one we'll try to make it up for. We'll make up for it somehow. I promise. I will. We will have a mini feature that will make you forget all about the time that I just decided to delete half of the podcast. So anyway, that's all. Thank you guys. We'll talk to you again next week. This has been another episode of All Right Mary, and that's all. Bye.
All right,